In the earliest days of the Republic, they emerged. A scholarly order of beings dedicated to the study of the energy field created by all living things, that which surrounds us, penetrates us, and binds us together. The Force. And in the Republic's twilight hours, one young apprentice's failure to abide by the will of his masters, one Padawan's choice to embrace the emotional attachment of forbidden love, spelled the doom of that mystic order, the Jedi Knights. Love became death, light became dark, all because of that which was forbidden to a Jedi. But it was not always so. For any rule that is broken must first be created, and must first be justified by experience. This is the story of but one of many tragedies wrought in those early days, and a tale often used to justify the Jedi refusal to allow attachment, to deny love, yet protect life, to deny passion, yet care for the galaxy with a greater passion than any yet living. And like all truths, this one has many sides. Parallels, Part 3. The floor was dabbled with rainwater, carried in by those passing through the entrance hall beyond. It was better than her quarters, Tellina mused. In there, the frequent applications of her favorite perfume to her body had given the room a pleasant atmosphere, currently being assailed by the stench of mildew coming from the carpet. Her fellow Jedi Knight and her lover's closest friend, Danner, had agreed to help patch the leaking ceiling for her on short notice. He was a good man, one of the best she knew. He had agreed without complaint, even though she knew he was exhausted. Men were so funny when a woman was in need, even out here at the Jedi Academy of Pir Dian, the backwater known to its inhabitants as Perdition. It wasn't far from the truth. She had grown up here, training as a Jedi, so she should be used to it by now. But she wasn't. Psychologists and psychiatrists in the Corps had long held the notion that the weather, while not directly in possession of any kind of telepathic or psionic features, held great sway over one's emotional state. And here on Perdition, it was always raining. Well, close enough to always. It cleared up for a few days each month, but a few days a month weren't enough to influence an individual's mood for the entire month, no matter what the chauvinist said of other natural cycles. If home was where the heart was, then the atmosphere of her home had permeated her heart with loneliness and depression far too often. And right now, she just felt wrong. Guilty would be a better word. She was not surprised to feel that way. Her longtime lover, Kieran, a fellow Jedi Knight, was gone. Kieran had left 2 months earlier to mop up what remained of the Sith battle fleet, and in the interim, sketchy reports had arrived at the Academy, suggesting that the man she loved may have perished in the campaign. If he was alive out there, somewhere, word of his survival had not yet reached Perdition. Those who remained, like Tellina and Kieran's best friend Danner, believed Kieran lost to the conflict. Those who remained. She had known better than to turn to one of them for solace, but she had done so anyway, and now found herself torn. She had been with Kieran for years, growing in both Jedi skills and affection for each other, but before the last rumors had suggested that recent reports of her lover's demise could be exaggerated, she had taken another to keep from feeling alone, to keep her feeling alive. And getting her hopes up for Kieran's safe return was a luxury she had not allowed herself, fearing that it would cause doubts and guilt over recent actions that she could not justify unless he was truly gone. If he did survive, and did arrive, then well, she'd be surprised to see him, but she wasn't sure if she'd still be happy to see him. Nothing was the same anymore. They'd been signaled that a transport was arriving from off-world. She held out no hope of who it could be, but found herself walking toward the entrance hall anyway, out of habit. As she reached the end of the hallway, emerging into the entrance hall, she stopped in her tracks, only halfway into the room. It was him. Standing just inside the door, dripping with rainwater, and passing a soaked tan cloak to a Cybot Galactica servant droid, was her lover. Or former lover. Whatever he was. Kieran was home. She stepped fully into the room, mustering up the courage to speak.
You're really here.
She moved forward to embrace him, fighting over motive. Part of her was truly happy to see him alive, ecstatic even. The other part, the guilty conscience inside, sought cover in acting as she would be expected to.
You're really here. Oh, thank the Maker, you're safe.
Great. Now she dragged religion into it. The gods out there, if they existed, must be pretty amused with themselves right now. Behind her, she sensed Danner enter the room. After a moment, the newcomer spoke.
I said I wouldn't believe it if I didn't see it with my own eyes. But I'll be damned. Welcome home, brother.
brother. Danner and Kieran had called themselves that for years now. She'd hidden the truth from Danner for the last month. She betrayed them both, she supposed. They'd always said she could trust them with anything, but she kept her depression to herself. Kieran stepped out of her embrace, stepping toward Danner's offered hand.
Danner.
Good to see you, Kieran. Weird rumors that...
Telina interrupted him.
Rumors that were apparently unfounded.
There was no sense in letting rumors compound the lies she'd already been living. She tried to change the subject.
I'm sure the Masters will be glad to hear that you're safe.
It was a sorry bluff. Surely Kieran had already spoken to the Masters. He confirmed that in his next statement.
I've spoken with Master Ganymede already before touchdown. They've requested my presence once I've settled in and made myself more presentable.
She tried not to think about how ragged he looked today. Appearances had always been important to Kieran in his youth. Now he'd lost much of the pretty boy image that had carried him through his teen years and into Talina's heart and desires.
Yeah.
Danner injected.
You look like hell.
Without warning, she felt a surge of darkness in the Force.
You have no idea!
Kieran yanked Danner's arm toward him and sent the other man into the far wall where he slid down toward the floor in shock. Before she could say anything, Kieran twisted full around to face her, grabbing her shoulders and forcing her into the wall behind her, backpedaling. His accusing eyes bored into her.
You couldn't wait! Less than 2 months and you couldn't wait for me?!
It wasn't possible. He'd been gone. There's no way he could know.
Kieran, what?
Confirm what he knows, confirm what he doesn't, the voice in the back of her mind cautioned.
You've been with someone else. I was told, but I wouldn't believe.
She fought to keep composure.
But Kieran, I...
With the Force behind his words, he verbally slapped her again.
Tell me I'm wrong!
She didn't speak for a moment, unsure what to say. Finally, her former love for him won out over her own need for self-preservation.
I'm sorry, Kieran.
Before she could say any more, before she could rein back in the guilt that must have been radiating off of her like stink from a Gamorrean, Danner was moving toward them. She felt one of Kieran's arms leave her shoulder, drawing his lightsaber and igniting it in Danner's path. Kieran's voice was laced with venom.
You do not want to do that, brother.
She took the distraction of the moment to whirl away from Kieran. For a moment, she thought she might be lucky enough to escape the situation for long enough to let Kieran calm down. But he snapped his head and free arm in her direction, releasing a Force push with his open palm. She felt the wave catch her directly in the forehead, sending her head backwards into the wall, slamming her violently into unconsciousness. Her mind could only faintly recognize the sounds in the room as she struggled her way up from the depths.
Why?
Should I not ask you the same?
I don't know what you're...
No lies!
Part of her understood what was happening. Kieran must believe that she had been unfaithful with Danner. He'd wanted justice and vengeance. She couldn't move far enough out of her daze to speak. It was as if consciousness was rainwater, and attempting to return to it was like trying to capture that water in her hand, with fingers spread apart like the rift she'd created between the two former brothers. Kieran had been right about her actions. She had betrayed him. But Danner was innocent. There was another. One Kieran had never met. A new arrival who had come with a message for the Masters. If Kieran could only be reasoned with... As her eyes fluttered open, she saw the crazed Kieran charge forward, swinging mercilessly. The rage in his eyes showed her all she needed to know to believe that there would be no turning back from the day's revelations. Kieran was like a magnet for darkness. She could feel it clustering around her former lover in the Force, no doubt feeding his muscles and senses. What was worse, Kieran didn't seem to care. He felt like he'd lost the battle for Talina's heart in absentia. There was no chance of him seeing that the dark side was in control of him now, not his own heart. No Jedi falling from grace could ever sense that he belonged to the dark side, not the other way around. As Kieran kept up his attack, Danner blocked him move for move, seeming to draw upon their years of training together for protection. Without warning, Kieran twisted his saber in his grip, sending the sky-blue blade up through Danner's left sleeve, leaving a seared arm underneath. Danner twisted his wrist wildly, making his blade a wall of defense between the two men, forcing Kieran back. Danner completed his whirling tactic with his blade in his right hand, his arm coiled backwards, ready to lunge. It was Master Ganymede's most powerful move, surely enough to subdue Kieran. But as Danner stepped forward, Kieran leaped, seemingly faster than any human could possibly move, as Danner attempted his direct lunge that would put his saber through Kieran's upper left torso. As Danner's body plunged forward, Kieran's leap sent him away from Danner and into the wall, planting his feet at an obtuse angle and swinging his arms above his head. Amazingly, the dark-haired Jedi somehow used the Force to carry out a reverse somersault, bringing Kieran's legs up and over, with the soles of his feet ending the move facing the wall behind him. At that precise moment, Kieran kicked outward with both legs, propelling himself off the wall, parallel to the floor, a meter over Danner's startled head. There was nothing she could do but watch, as Kieran executed a backward slice, catching Danner's exposed arm just above the elbow, severing it cleanly. Danner fell to his knees on the cold entrance hall floor, clutching the cauterized stump where his arm used to be, his shock and pain radiating outward from him toward where she remained on the floor on the opposite side of the room. Knowing what was coming next, she found the strength to speak.
Kieran...
He looked back over his shoulder at her, still bringing the blade back with taut, predatory muscles. Strength became clarity.
Don't!
And the moment she spoke, he sent the sky blue saber over and down, severing Danner's head. It was over. Her lies had claimed their first victims, Danner's life and Kieran's soul. For in Kieran's eyes there was darkness. In Danner's fading, luminous form in the Force, there was light. And for her, in the emptiness in her heart at this moment, there was simply nothing at all. She began to sob, barely noticing as he turned toward her, bringing his legs into a stance to pounce in her direction. Then she felt his presence. Another person coming around the corner, carrying himself on boot soles that sent echoes throughout the hall. With Kieran's attention focused on her, she called out to her savior, the true object of Kieran's rage.
Stop him!
The Republic security agent, Lieutenant Shrellian, came into the room with his weapon at the ready. It was too late for Kieran to stop his pounce. His feet left the floor, his body sailing toward her. And then the blast of Shrellian's heavy-duty blaster rifle caught him at close range, directly in the face. Kieran's body twisted awkwardly in mid-flight, spinning as it crashed to the ground. She wondered if his last thoughts had been of her. Would they have been clouded by rage, or longing for what she'd taken from him? She would never know. She stood from where she'd fallen with Kieran's assault and placed her arm around her protector, her other hand resting on his shoulder. As her lover dropped the rifle to his side, she kissed him lightly on the cheek, resting her head on his shoulder. Kieran had been right. She had taken another. But he'd killed the wrong man. Together, the couple left the entrance hall. The day's events would gnaw at her for the rest of her life. A life lived with Shrellian at her side. Our tale is concluded. The end. You've been listening to a Chrono Radio presentation of Star Wars Parallels Part 3, starring Mike Lane as Kieran, Ian Bowie as Danner, and Krista Kolazar as Talina, with narration by Nathan Butler. Written and mixed by Nathan Butler. Star Wars Parallels is a non-profit fan production produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Wars and any other copyrighted materials are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended. From Mike, Nathan, Ian, and Krista, thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you.